third chapter. That's where we'll begin our study in just a moment. And while you're getting your Bible, we want to welcome each and every one of you. We've got some visiting with us that are dear friends. We're glad you're with us and encouraging us. And as we get our Bibles and study, if you find I've taught something wrong, I stand to be corrected. In a moment, Brother Stillman will stand and sing the song we suggested. And while we're standing and singing, if you've never put on Christ in baptism, it's our prayer that you would walk forward and come down to this front aisle, and that you'd be willing to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and upon your confession, be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins. Or if you need to be restored to Christ, you've left the Lord, and you want to be restored to Him and to this church family, our prayer is you'll make your life right this morning. If you have your Bible, in the book of Exodus, in the third chapter, look, if you will, at verse 10, and we'll read down through verse 12. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So God said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Have you ever stopped and thought about or heard someone else say, why is it that I keep falling? Why is it that in life I seem to stumble, and sometimes I seem to stumble over the same sin time and time again? Why is it that I make the same mistakes and blunders over and over again? And I've often thought about how many people have come to me and have talked to me in regard to making the same sin. Then I thought about myself. I've often thought about what it would be like to be an expert in some field. But what I'm going to talk to you about this morning, I guess I could say I'm an expert in one way, because I likewise have stumbled over the same sin time and time again. I frankly admit, and I get so ashamed of myself in this matter. It seems that I just keep making the same blunders in life. And this is one problem that one cannot place on any group, because most of us have to admit, if we're honest, that there are some things that just tempt us more than others. And we fall over that same temptation and commit sin. So what I'd like to do is notice in the Bible that there are some who committed the same sin not just one time, but they stumbled over it time and time again. Now this by no means approves or condones any wrong that I might make. When I read in the Bible that someone committed the same sin, stumbled over the same stone, done the same wrong time and time again, does not make it right when I do it. But to see it as a source of encouragement, to know others have done the same and yet become identified as men and women of faith because they overcame that sin, should serve as an encouragement to each of us. What I'd like for us to do this morning is examine several who fell over the same sin and ask the question, why did they keep falling? Why did they stumble over the same sin? Why did they do the same wrong against God time and time again? And then make application and the lesson will be yours. The first thing I want you to note is this man we read about a moment ago identified as Moses. And in our reading we notice that God called Moses to lead the people. But look at what Moses said in Moses chapter 3. Moses said, who am I, God? In other words, Moses is going to make an excuse that he should not go and lead the people out of Egypt. God made a command right to Moses, and he said, go and lead the people. That should have been sufficient in verse 12. But Moses, instead of doing what God said, raises a question, who am I? But notice that's not the only time that Moses makes an excuse. If you take your Bible, look in the book of Exodus and the fourth chapter. And when you come to Exodus chapter 4, look if you will at verse 1. In Exodus chapter 4 and verse 1, after God had commanded him to go, Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. Notice Moses didn't try to make just one excuse. But when God said, you go and lead my people out of Egyptian captivity, Moses comes back with a second excuse. He says, suppose they don't believe me. Suppose they say you didn't appear to me. Then what will happen? Moses, instead of obeying God, is finding reasons and excuses not to obey God. He thought that he could reason his way or excuse his way out of doing what God had commanded him to do. And this man is sinning. This man is neglecting to obey a direct command from the God of heaven. And he is saying, now, Lord, wait just a minute. What if they don't listen to me? But then if you take your Bible, look, if you will, at verse 10. In Exodus chapter 4 and verse 10, after God had said, I'll be with you, notice a third excuse this man makes. In verse 10, Moses said, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Notice again he comes back and said, now Lord, you're sending the wrong man. I'm not an eloquent speaker. I can't speak in such a way that will convince Pharaoh to let the people go. I can't speak in such a way that the people will believe that I am your servant, that I have come to lead them out of captivity. And God is getting frustrated with Moses. And God said to him in verse 11, who has made the man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Can you not see the frustration God has with this servant? Because this servant is excusing himself from obeying a command of God. But then if you take your Bible, look if you will in the book of Exodus and the fifth chapter. In Exodus chapter 5, you remember in verse 22, this man is going to make a statement. In verse 22, Moses returned to the Lord and said, Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? Why is it you have sent me? Moses again is questioning the authority of God, and he's questioning the command of God. And that is not the first, second, or third time, but this man has done it time and time again. This man has stumbled over the same sin. This man has questioned the God of heaven. Then if you take your Bible in the book of Exodus and the sixth chapter, notice you'll find where he does it again. In Exodus chapter 6, drop down to verse 28. In verse 28, it came to pass on that day the Lord spoke to Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spoke to Moses saying, I am the Lord, speak to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say to you. But Moses said before the Lord, behold, I am of uncircumcised lips, and how shall Pharaoh heed me? One could say, oops, I did it again. Here's another time that he did not obey the Lord. Here's another time that he made an excuse. And this man committed the same blunder, the same sin, time and time again. But then there are other Old Testament examples. One could look in Judges 16 at that man identified as Samson. And one could remember that man stumbled over the same sin. That man committed adultery not just one time, but you find him committing adultery several times. And we'll not investigate the life of Samson, but I just want to be put upon your heart this morning that Samson was a man that allowed his lust to lead him. And that man committed that sin of adultery multiple times in his life. He'd gone down to the Philistines, and he had been with the harlots. He had been with Delilah, and that man had committed the sin of adultery time and time again. But then if you take your Bible, let's look at a third example. If you take your Bible, look, if you will, in 2 Samuel chapter 11. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, we recognize the man identified as David. And you'll remember David had committed the sin of adultery. But then notice that David, after committing the sin of adultery, had found out that Bathsheba was with child. And here her husband is off at battle. And notice that David tries to cover up his sin by lying. And David doesn't just tell one lie. David lies time and time again to his husband, Uriah. He tries to get Uriah to come and he tries to get him drunk so he'll go home and lie with his wife and think that he is the husband or the father of the child. He tries to do many things and lies to that husband. And finally, he sends him back to the battlefield with a message. Here is Uriah carrying a message to Joab. And the message he's carrying is his own death warrant. He hands it to Joab, and David said, put Uriah on the front line and withdraw the troops so that he can be put to death. Have you ever looked at that man known as David? Have you ever thought about that man who had made many mistakes? But notice how many times he lies. And this wasn't the last time he lied. You see, throughout the life of David, he would be guilty of stumbling over the same sin. He sinned about lying and not telling the truth. But then if you take your Bible, look if you will in the New Testament, in the book of Luke in the 22nd chapter. And when you come to the book of Luke in the 22nd chapter, you'll find another man that can testify to the problem that I and others have of stumbling over the same sin. And I'm sure this man would raise the question, why do I keep falling? In the book of Luke in the 22nd chapter, you find a man identified as Peter. And you'll remember this man in Mark 14:31 and in Matthew 26:69 had made a great confession, saying that he would die with the Lord, that he would never deny. And yet in Luke 22, verses 54 to 62, we find Peter denying the Lord not one time, not two times, but three times. Here is a man that committed the same transgression, the same iniquity, the same sin. He stumbled when someone said, you are a disciple of Jesus. He said, no, I am not. Then another came and said, you're one of his disciples. Your speech betrays you. And he says, I'm not a disciple. And then a third came and said, you're one of them. And he began to cuss and swear and said, I am not. Have you ever thought that here was a man that stumbled over the same sin? And I think he can fully appreciate my feeling when I stumble over the same sin. I'm mindful of what Peter had asked back in the book of Matthew in the 18th chapter. When in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 21, Peter came to Jesus and he'd asked him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times in verse 21. And you remember what the Lord said? I do not say up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wants to settle accounts with his servants. That means an innumerable time. That means that every time someone truly repents, you forgive. Well, why is that? Because you want God to forgive you. Have you ever thought about these individuals that committed the same sin time and time again? But that brings up a second thought in our study. Why is such a problem? We come face to face with the real issue at hand. What causes you and I to stumble over the same sin? And I'll tell you the first one. Satan. I think we all agree that the devil is going to do all he can to keep me making mistakes and blunders. He wants me to sin. He wants me to violate God's law. He wants me to transgress God's command. He wants me to do evil in the eyes of God because he is seeking to devour me. In 1 Peter 5:8, it said, be sober, be vigilant. Why, Peter? He said, because you're enemy. That's what Satan is to you and I. He's our enemy. Your enemy, the devil, is walking about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Do you recognize this morning that the devil would love to devour your soul into eternal hell? And the devil is going to do everything he can to put temptations. He knows my weaknesses. Now, my weakness and your weakness may be two different things, but I'll tell you what, the devil knows it. And the devil's going to get you to do what would cause you to lose your soul. Secondly, people decide. In James chapter 1, we have a decision to make. We have a decision whether we'll follow God's will or we're going to follow our carnal desires, follow the flesh, follow what we want to do. And I'll tell you why a lot of us are living in sin and stumble over the same sin. We've made that decision to do so. The temptation arises, the thought is conceived, and then from that conception of the thought, we go out and we commit the sin. We do the thing that we know is a violation of God's will. We determine to do it. But then I'll tell you a third reason we stumble over the same sin. We use faulty measurements. Many times I measure myself in the wrong manner. I see the faults of others and tend to overlook my own failures. Open your Bible, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, if you look at the first four verses, notice that Paul, in particular, in verse 3, says, "But with me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself." Why, Paul? Well, look at verse 4. "For I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this, but he who judges me is the Lord." Now, you know something, my friend? I look out at a group of people and you all look pretty good. You all look nice and dressed and clean. And you know what? I would say just about everyone in here compared to Madonna looks like a saint. Or whoever the newest singer is that's walking around using blasphemy. I mean, you all look just like you as good as you can be compared to them. But that's not the measurement of God. And I'll tell you what a lot of us do. We'll say, well, compared to the world, I'm a pretty good person. But that's not the standard by which we're going to be judged. And a lot of times we justify poor behavior because we keep our eyes on others instead of looking at ourselves. It's easy to find the flaws and faults of others, but I'll tell you one of the most difficult things to do is to remove the mask I put on and see myself for who I am and see my mistakes, see my shortcomings, and see what I need to work on. Now, I'll tell you something. There's another reason we find people falling over the same sin, and that's poor teaching. I think we must admit that it is caused many times from poor teaching. And some of that is poor teaching of learning ourselves. In your Bible, in 2 Timothy 2:15, what did he say? "Study to show thyself approved, a workman of God, that you might be able to do something." What? "Rightly divide the word of truth." If you never study the Word of God, then when the devil attacks you, my friend, you're defenseless. Because you know what the weapon it uses against the devil is? The sword of the Spirit. If I go up against the devil without my sword, I'll tell you, I'm an easy target. And I'll tell you something. Parents aren't teaching their children in the home. They expect it to be done in the church building. And children are growing up not having Bible knowledge. They're not knowing how to fight against the devil. And we're expecting so much to be done in the work of the local church that we don't do anything at home. And children are growing up being fed all kinds of things on television. I heard my two boys talking the other day, and one of them made a statement. And the other said, "That's not true." And he said, "Yes, it is." And he said, "No, it's not." And the other one said, "Yes, it is. It was on YouTube." And I started thinking, who's doing the teaching? But that brings up something else. What happened? What do we have to do to keep from stumbling over the same sin? What about you? You may say, now, preacher, you haven't touched me yet. I haven't committed the sin of David. I've never committed adultery or murder. You've never lied? I question you right there. But there are some people that have got a problem with drugs. And they don't have to be drugs that you buy out on the street. Some are addicted to prescription drugs. Now, if your doctor gives you something, that's one thing. I think you ought to take it. If you've got a problem, you ought to take whatever your doctor gives you. But I'll tell you something, my friend. There are a lot of people that justify doing wrong because they say it was prescribed to them, and they overdo. There are some who are addicted to alcohol. They'll say, oh, now, preacher, I'm not really addicted to alcohol. I just every now and then have a little bender on the weekend. Well, I know this much, the Bible condemns drunkenness. I know that the Bible condemns it not just one time as in Galatians 5, but it condemns it in 1 Corinthians 6, it condemns it in Romans 1. All throughout the divine revelation, you'll find that that is condemned. And you'll find people just saying, well, it never hurt anybody to go out and have a good time. And they go out and they get drunk. And I'll tell you, my friend, they stumble over the same stone. You know what I've noticed about drunks, and I've had them in my family. Drunks never make a good decision. But I'll tell you a third thing. Someone might say, well, preacher, I don't have a problem with drugs. I don't have a problem with alcohol. What about pornography? Oh, it's so easy today, and it's not just young men, but young ladies that have a problem with it. And it's just a click or two away on the computer. And some are addicted to it, and they struggle with it, and they feel guilty, and they want to quit, and then they go back to it. And some of those who are older may not understand that problem, but I'll tell you what, it's a problem for young people, and we need to encourage. A romance novel. Oh, now someone said, you've gone to meddling now. But what might entice a young man to look at pornography, a young lady reads the romance novels and gets the same feeling, and I'll tell you, it's the same problem. What about overeating? That's really hitting close to home because I put on weight. And you know why I put on weight? I start getting stressed out, and instead of doing what I need to do, I go and eat. You may say, preacher, you haven't touched me yet. Let me ask you this. What about gossip? Now, I've noticed a lot of eyes shift away when I mention that one and looked out. How many times have we been guilty of gossip? Well, we fail to do good. What was it James said? He who knoweth to do good and doeth it not in his sin. I'll tell you something. We all have our problems. So what do I do to overcome the problem? The first thing I must do is admit I've got a problem. You'll never overcome a problem until you admit you have a problem. If you keep denying it's a problem, you'll never overcome it. The second thing I must learn to do is not be self-righteous about it. Don't look down on others, but realize we all are struggling. In Luke 18, the Pharisee that prayed within himself, he was self-righteous. Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 10, 12, he who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. I don't care if you're the preacher, if you're the elder, if you are a deacon, who you are, don't ever think you're above sin, because I'll tell you, that's exactly where the devil wants you. When we get proud and we think that we're above sin, we are in sin because of our pride. But I'll tell you something else. We need to learn to confess and repent. If I've been baptized into Christ and I've been raised up to walk in newness of life and I stumble and I fall over the sin, how many times will God forgive? And I'll tell you how many. As many times as you truly repent. 1 John 1:9. If I confess my sins and I repent of my sins, He's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins. And when God forgives, as Brother David prayed, He forgets. He blots it out. I read in a book and I thought it was a great saying. This man was praying and he said, "Lord, I did it again." To which the Lord replied, "What?" Because when God forgives, He blots it out. But I'll tell you something else we do. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, we help one another. You know it says in James chapter 5, you're to confess your sins to one another. We don't do that very often because we want people to think we don't have them. And I'll tell you something, my friend, we do have them. And I'll tell you what the answer is to overcoming sin is find somebody that you can be accountable to and ask them to help you. Because in Galatians chapter 6, what did he say? If a brother is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one with a spirit of what? Gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Because there's going to come a time you're going to stumble. And you're going to need help. But finally, we need to remember that God is there. He's still there. Remember with Moses, what did he tell Moses? "I'll be there." When David repented, he was still there. He didn't leave Peter. And in Matthew 28:20, he'll not leave us. He said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." And I'll tell you what we must learn to do. As we close, look in your Bible in Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, notice a statement made with me that Paul travels. In Philippians 3 and verse 12, "Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do." What is that, Paul? "Forgetting those things which are behind." Underscore that. Forgetting those things. Why? God has blotted them out. And reaching forward. I love that. I forget those things which are behind, and I reach forward to those which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Look at what he says. Behind me is my sin. Don't look back. Before me is the goal I'm going to reach. Upward is where I'm headed. I'm going to attain the goal. And don't look side to side. Why? Because then I'll lose my focus. Forgetting those things which are behind. Now, I'll tell you one thing I've learned. Sometimes my brethren make it hard for me to forget. I had forgotten something that had happened in college. I had told a friend something. He got mad and he punched me. I took it. And for 20 years I had forgotten that until someone came up to me and said, "Do you remember that time he hit you? I wish he hadn't said it." Because I want to forget my past. And I want others to forget those things that are behind us. So we can reach forward. You can't live on yesterday's victories. You can't live on yesterday's mistakes. You can't have tomorrow because we haven't got there yet. So we live today to the best of our ability, to the glory of God. Why do I keep falling? Could it be because I've let go of the hand that's been nail scarred, that's trying to lead me? And I've become so enticed by the world, I fail to look forward to what lies ahead. Keep your eyes on the goal. If you need to be baptized,